you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Janine, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Thank you, Nick. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. And today we'll start off with a controversial idea or take you have.
You know, Nick, I think one of the most controversial ideas right now is what I work on, which is bringing the power of soul and love into business.
Well, that will be perfect to discuss in depth in a few minutes. But before we get started, are there any unusual or non-negotiable things that you've done so far today for your health and performance?
In terms of non-negotiables, every day it's, you know, I've got a supplement regimen, meditation, connecting with nature is always a non-negotiable. But something I do numerous times a day that's probably unusual for most people is that I move energy through my body and light through my body.
So what does that look like, sound like?
Yeah. So I connect source to source. So if you can imagine the great central sun gently streaming a golden white light down through the crown chakra all the way through every organ, node, muscle, tissue, artery, vein, etc., all the way through my body, down through the bottom of my feet, down through the rich layers of the earth to the crystalline grid. I see that light up and more light comes up and it all pools in the center of my heart. So I'm connected source to source and radiating light in front of me, behind me, above me, below me, to the left and to the right.
So you're taking a minute or a few minutes to just pause in the middle of your day and to do this practice, this visualization and more practice to reconnect.
To reconnect, I mean, we are light bodies, I believe, bodies of energy. And to be that deliberate, I think it fundamentally shifts showing up as your highest and true nature in each interaction. And I think we are powerful beyond belief. And so let's maximize the light that we are.
Absolutely. And you were not always in this world. In a what seems like a previous lifetime ago, you were in the corporate world, completely tuned out from more esoteric side.
Corporate world. And even before that, Nick, I was an evidence-based psychotherapist treating obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorders, and the like for a decade. So at that time in my life, I only believed in what was proven, what the research said, followed the SOP. And, you know, we did have great demonstrated efficacy, and it was a privilege to work with my mental health clients. And then I went into business, and still being a Fortune 50 international executive, we predominantly moved from the known, the proven, the visible, what our five senses were aware of. So making the shift to understanding our unlimited nature, the power of the invisible within and beyond was life-changing, both for myself and my clients. And I'm kind of this crazy mix of both, a lot of science and a lot of soul.
What sparked that catalyst for you? How did you all of a sudden decide that there might be something here that's outside of the realm of traditionally proven evidence-based science and start to go from being skeptic to being more open to it to now practicing these on a daily or regular basis?
Well, you know, there's a great quote, Nick, and I wish I could remember it verbatim, but it goes something like, first we view something as ridiculous, and then ultimately we embrace it as if it were always the truth, right? And that was true for me. Things like energy, Reiki, yoga, working with light beings, I used to laugh out loud. I would be like, you've got to be kidding me. But what changed my mind is when I was going through my own 911, the familiar solutions, all of the best practices, all of the experts, all of the gurus, none of them had my answers. And when your familiar solutions are no longer working, you become more open and you become more curious. And I've always been insatiably curious. I love to read anything, doesn't matter what the perspectives are. So I just started exploring this invisible, metaphysical world, anything I could get my hands on, visiting sacred sites, working with shamans, healers, everything I could. And it kept bringing me home to soul. Every practice really was leading me to my own inner genius, which best practices and state-of-the-art science will never be able to give you.
Will you define soul for us? Because that's one of those terms that means different things to different people.
Yeah. I'll define it for myself and then we'll let folks put it in the hopper of consideration. So for me, soul is this eternal essence that's connected to an energetic grid. It is both who we are. I believe that we are souls traversing in wonder suits of a temporary body that is connected to all available universal intelligence. Your soul's that part of you that knows why you're here, what you'll experience, what choices will be better for you. It's the part of you when you're speaking, you know, you squash your inner knowing or your inner truth. And I believe it's the only true pathway to happiness and true success. Now, for some people, soul carries baggage, whether it was from religious or prior understandings, but you can also think of it as entelechy. Aristotle described this principle, which was a seed of potential and realization. So it's the entelechy of an acorn seed to become an oak tree. Entelechy of a caterpillar to become a butterfly. Well, we too, irrespective of the label, are coded. We are coded for greatness. We are coded for potential. So that's how I see it. Soul is the entelechy of who we are.
So if you know your purpose or you find your purpose, at least your temporary purpose for now, and you start working towards that, and all of a sudden your energy goes through the roof, you feel inspired, motivated, and you feel great every day as you're working towards something larger than yourself. Is that related to soul?
Absolutely. I mean, we know soul by resonance. Sometimes you'll feel it in your body. You get goosebumps, you know, traversing your arms. Other times, like I remember I used to read Rumi quotes. From my human mind, I couldn't logically understand it, but my body became more expansive. There was a resonance that the human rational mind simply can't understand. You know what? When you're in flow, right? When we are pushing uphill, we're struggling one delay after another, you know, the intelligence of life is speaking and perhaps saying, maybe this isn't your pathway, or maybe not right now.
Yeah, well, that's a big one for me. That answer is essentially working smarter, listening to your body, picking up, absorbing the cues and transmuting them into aligning with your purpose or at least your temporary purpose. And at the same time, when you're doing the daily grind, you're doing the things you have to get done, it can be very hard to voluntarily take a step back and say, okay, I'm going to give myself a minute to process this. I'm going to see how I feel when I think of it. And then after I digest it, so to speak, then I'll go forward and make a decision. And when I do that, I'll be more effective. I'll be faster with it. I'll have more clarity around it. Reduces a lot of the wasted time. But how do you go about that when you're actually in the heart of it? Because when I'm doing all these things, there's no chance I'm going to want to take a put the brakes on, step back and say, I'm just going to reflect on this for a while.
Well, you're a data guy. So in part, maybe the data will help shift you. I mean, we know that by data, and the number is somewhere around 54 minutes, that we need to take a break at least that often. I know in working with my clients, the harder they dig in, the less creative, the less access they have to this expanded potentiality. So some of it becomes test and try. Like literally I have my clients program their phones or have it on a post-it note that ideally every 50 minutes or at least every 60, depending upon their job and their work and a natural interval, that they take 30 seconds to 2 minutes to tune inward. And we can talk about practices of how we do that. But no matter what you got going on in your life, once you learn, I could talk about it all day long, but you're going to be your best scientist. Test and try it. And once you start incorporating regular breaks where we shift from the intelligence of our head brain to the intelligence of our gut and heart brain, which is, by the way, how information actually flows despite what most of us were taught, you're going to find you all of a sudden have inspired, creative downloads. That problem you were trying to solve, boom. Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish becomes realized, or at least the next stepping stone is more easily revealed. So my clients who say, I don't have time, I get that. That was me. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm in a plane 200,000 to 300,000 miles a year, a single mom. I don't have time to like breathe. But what happened is I actually did. And I had to change my narrative. I had to change my story. My story was, I'm in flow. I can't interrupt this. My story is, I'm in the zone. But the reality is we can't stay in the zone in that way without intermittent breaks so we can come back even smarter, wiser, with more access.
Well, that's certainly the story I tell myself, that I'm in the middle of a project. I'm deep in the flow state. I'm using special music that keeps me there longer and more effectively. And I have like all these tips and tricks. And then just to say, you know what, I'm going to break this train of focus for even as much as 30 seconds or a minute. It feels like it'll derail so much.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, give it a spin and see for you. And obviously, I always tell people, experiment with something you're willing to experiment for a while. But I just wonder, Nick, I wonder which zone of flow you're in, right? So even from a science perspective, we got three brains. Gut brain, which is a self-preservation, fear processing, immune. Heart's intelligent, affective, feeling, the I feel. And then the head, analytical, cognitive language, perception, the I think. Almost all of us spend most of our time in our head brain. And what I'm trying to teach people is come back. 70 to 80% of the information flows up the vagal highway, our nerve system. We need to drop down into those other brains. And it's not new. Do you know the first gut brain book was written in 1907, Byron Robinson. And so I think sometimes we've been duped a little bit along the way in medicine and academia and a number of institutions, frankly. So our narratives are pretty strong about what being in the flow is, but very often they are a head-centered flow. So I really encourage people to test and try this. And it helps if you tactically, I always put one hand on heart center, one hand on my belly and close my eyes, because we follow touch in the body. So as you feel the hand on your belly expand with the inhale, fall with the exhale. Expand with the inhale. And as you're doing that, I want you to imagine in the chamber of your heart is a sanctuary where all wisdom resides. If you just stay with that train of thought, you open up some access to what the mystics call the spiritual heart. It's a deeper energetic layer, right? So in that heart's intelligence, science would say, you can access all of the affective intelligence. But if we layer on ancient timeless wisdom, we've also got three levels of a heart. And if you think of them as the stackable dolls, the Russian stackable dolls, right? Physical pump organ. Emotional heart is the feelings, and we've all had them. Like if you remember new love, it can be with anything. A human, an animal, a car, it's like the best thing in the world. We also remember unrequited love, right? So it's that emotional piece. But if we go one layer deeper into the spiritual heart, which is just another subtle energy layer. So when I'm doing these visualizations, I literally just kind of imagine sinking into the deepest energetic layer that's connected to the quantum field, that's connected to all available intelligence. And I ask my question, I listen, and invariably that information starts coming back to me, either in my head, through a conversation I overhear, through a whisper in nature, through an article that comes my way. Somehow, you know, information comes my way.
Yeah, it's not always the linear. You look for an answer somewhere and then it comes in the spoken word or visual. Sometimes it comes in ways you wouldn't expect it. And I like what you were saying earlier about early knowledge of the gut-brain axis. I think the first reference I saw to that was back in the ancient Ayurvedic texts dating back 5,000 plus years. And there's like recorded in history of it. And we're now rediscovering that again. It's undergoing a resurgence. And it sounds like you've seen the HeartMath research where when they hook up participants to all kinds of monitoring equipment, the heart registers stimuli faster than the brain does. And if I think about my own experience of the flow state, if I actually think about where it comes from and how it feels, it seems like there's a element of like feeling centered and connected below like the cognitive abilities and focus and all that. Like it stems from lower down the body around the heart area.
Absolutely. Heart and sacral, I would say. That's why I go heart, center, and sacral. There's some debate as to which has the stronger wisdom centers. I cover them both. I happen to think it's the timeless spiritual heart, but there is a lot of intuitive energy in our sacral area as well. So I love that. I love the HMI data, whether it's heart rate variability, 5,000 times stronger magnetically with our heart. I mean, the data is absolutely incredible. But it's the beauty of the and, right? I mean, once again, I'm happy. It makes my job a whole lot easier because I knew these things intuitively for decades. It does make it easier with my skeptic clients that might come in the door only for the High Performance Institute, kind of the high performance side of my equation, who just want that. It does make it easier that modern science is starting to catch up to timeless wisdom.
Absolutely. And it's also interesting to notice the parallels between what we were just talking about, the different centers of wisdom, whether it's the brain and mind, or it's the heart, or it's the gut area, sacral area, and also the chakras that all the different systems have. And like the common one is the Hindu chakra system of like, I think it's 7 chakras. And just to notice like those are energy points on the body. And we're now able to go through, scan the body with different measuring devices, such as with electromagnetic field. I think it's called a SQUID. a squid device to measure the electrical magnetic field of coming off the body, and you can see how it originates stronger in certain areas than others.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I'm a big believer, obviously, as a Reiki master, we can move that energy with our own hands. You can do it mentally, just scanning and sending light to areas in your body. The practice of light has been life-changing. And when my clients use it, they're blown away. Absolutely blown away.
One of the things that I'm imagining some resistance here around would be when you're doing this, how do you know if you're doing it right and you're actually getting the effects and the benefits versus just like imagining something and not doing anything?
Well, it shows up in your life and or it shows up in your relationships. So one of my executives, for example, was having an extraordinarily tense and unproductive relationship with another executive. And I asked her to every night send light from her heart with some kindness, like, may you be at peace, you know, whatever it might be. And she's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I want you to visualize her. Just send a loving energy, something, kindness, appreciation, small gratitude. And I want you to do it for 30 days. It's going to take all of 5 seconds each night. Even if you're totally ticked off, I want you to do this. And she was skeptical. I'm like, why not test and try? Like, don't believe me because you are your own inner genius and guru. So she did it. And like clockwork, they all come back to me at some point after that 30-day marker, usually longer before. And she's like, Janine, I don't know what happened, but she greeted me this morning. We're in meetings. We're working productively together. When we change our vibrational frequency, because that's all it is, and we send different vibrational frequencies out to others, obviously, everybody's in charge of their own frequency, but usually they receive it, not through their rational mind. Something starts to soften and that relationship shifts. I see it with couples who in the middle of a tense disagreement where they're both committed, independently convicted on their own point of view, tell my client, just soften and send energy. Like, I see us getting through this with ease. Just sending that true higher frequency thought, something softens in the prior dance of an argument to moving towards a different level of harmony. So, and you notice that in your own life, your flow state will start to shift.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. And specifically, I like what you said about testing everything you hear, you learn where it's safe, do your diligence, your own research. And then if it's safe, try it yourself. Understand both sides of any topic and then try one of the sides, see how it works. Try the other side, see how it works. Evaluate yourself and don't just take people's words. That's one of the core principles of what I call bioharmony, is to like not just listen and intuitive or logically reason what articles you see on PubMed or wherever on the internet, even on a podcast or a video, but actually test them for yourself and make sure that this works for you, because people are different. Some things work for others and not for other people.
Absolutely. And by the way, test it more than once. We know that when you're starting a new supplement, you don't take one day and quit or go to the gym and quit after one day. Whatever it is, got a commitment and a consistency for a period of time. And that's required here too. But one thing that I know to be true is people who come to my practice, they are absolutely committed to living the highest and best potentiality that they are. They've always been driven. They've always been driven to succeed and discern the best of the best. So part of my background that's helpful is they love the certified high performance coaching piece. Having been an executive, I get their P&L. I understand strategy and the vision. So there's this tangible, grounded side. So most of them are willing to go, okay, Tom's, this is a little out there for me, but I'm willing to give it a spin. And that's all it requires, because your rational mind can never make the journey.
Yeah. And when people talk about spirituality and they're a little off put by the notion and some of the images it might conjure up, I mention it as just oversimplification, which is, it's like the study of the interconnectedness of things, whether it's life or it's more esoteric, whatever, like just to make it very simple. It's seeing connections and recognizing that connections exist beyond what you'd see with the physical eye or any of the physical senses.
And taking all of that, it is awareness. Literally being aware of what you're aware of. We are the awareness. You know, we think we're our thoughts. We often think we are our actions, but actually we are the awareness. And if we can kind of tune into that awareness, we are coded to evolve, every single one of us. And if we tune in and actually ask the intelligence within, it will reveal your next kind of right action, your next pathway of growth or exploration. So I often think of spirituality as awareness and connectedness within, around, and beyond us. So kind of three levels of awareness.
Yeah, I like the awareness component. It certainly makes it more powerful and more encompassing. And speaking of that, from when I reflect on what we've talked about so far, a lot of these have a core underlying theme of being related to lack of doing, lack of movement, and really just like sitting into and embracing stillness. Why has that been such an important part of your life?
Well, first of all, it was the antithesis of what I told myself I could do. So doing nothing was idle, it was unproductive, and it just wasn't a good use of time. So I had to, once again, we have to really watch our 70,000 thoughts, that narrative that's informing our behavior. So I shifted the narrative. And when we soften, when we empty the busy brain, doing nothing actually wasn't nothing at all. It was the treasure trove of infinite vastness. And how could I let that sit going unopened? I wanted to be the best at what I was doing. Like, how could I just follow the science or what's proven and not actually tune in and dial into this infinite nature of who I really was? Then I just began exploring with practices. The breath, interestingly enough, is probably one of the most powerful vehicles and underestimated vehicles we have. But not the automatic breath, the 24/7, the conscious breath that you feel in the trillions of cells in your body. Like, imagine them being enlivened. That is a powerful access way. Anything that softens the mind, dance, we know that that's the original, like, movement. Music is considered one of the divinest forms of art because it's free. It doesn't fill your mind with anything. Music, dance, art, a freeing run. For some people, they say they get into a zone after a while on the freeing run. So how you get there, go ahead and experiment. I get there in nature in a nanosecond, grounding on stones, literally palms, my heart chakra extension, palm of the hands on a tree, asking a question, listening. It's amazing where the intelligence of life, that's why I go back to awareness. If you move through life, you're getting thousands of messages a day on optimizing the potentiality of who you are in all sorts of crazy ways, unsuspected ways, I should say.
Yeah. I like that. So when you're running and you're listening to music, for example, do you still consider that stillness?
Actually, I do. Once we get to, though, the emptiness. So the data would say that there can be a point for some people who, in listening to that music, it's almost as if they're not listening to the music anymore, and they are in this space of nothingness. So it's the level to which you kind of transcend, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the thoughts actually ever stop per se, but your awareness, instead of being relegated to the thoughts, it like extends beyond the thoughts.
I think that's true, Nick. I think it's nuanced. I think there's an and. Some of my clients, when they're beginning, will say, my thoughts don't stop. And I'll say, listen, if you're in the middle of that retouch, remember we follow touch, and simply say noted, that ego side just wants, wants to be seen, wants to be heard. So I'm like, noted. And in your 30 seconds to 2 minutes, if you have to say noted 15 times, no worries. But over time, it actually can be pure nothingness, where I am sitting in meditation and it is nothing but infinite beingness.
That's my experience in meditation as well. And I'm not sure if I'm just not aware of the thoughts or if they really aren't there.
I think they're not there. At least that's my own personal experience. There's different levels of consciousness, and you're transcending another level of consciousness. So could it be that the awareness is different? Yes. Could it be that we're just into a different level of consciousness, what some people would say a different dimension, which is simply another layer of consciousness?
Do you have any recommendations, Janine, for people to figure out what form of stillness works best for them that they can reliably access? Because it's one thing to try this all one day, say, okay, that was great, and then just to cast it aside and forget about it. The best practice is going to be the one that you do regularly. So how do you go about finding that?
Two ways. There's quiet, which would be like using the breath, which I described before, simply connecting with your breath. 30 seconds to 2 minutes when you start, at minimum, ideally before you even get out of bed. And multiple times throughout the day, right? Then there's the active forms, which might be running, painting, music, dance, right? That allows you 5 sense immersion is very effective. So you can either do this in nature where you, whatever you notice, you really dive in with your 5 senses. What do you see? Like, what are the colors? What's the shape? Da, 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 da. And you immerse all 5 senses in that object. And what starts to happen when we immerse our 5 senses, it actually can go into a higher transcendence and expanded information or ignites. You can do that at home with an orange. So that's an interesting practice. I think nature, one of our most profound wisdom teachers, is a really easy way to get there. Go lay outside if you can and sky gaze. Really go and be with a sunset. We get so immersed in that, it carries us. Again, we're emptying our mind. So those are some practices, but even just a simple one in nature as you move through life is notice what you notice. If you notice a number sequence on a license plate, 111333, look up the angel number. If I get bald eagles all the time, I live on a lake, and I would look up the animal totem for that. I think everything in life is this benevolent universe helping you come back to the sacred longing of yourself. We've lost sight of ourselves. So many people are so focused on all of the external stuff. Every single day, there needs to be an and. I'm going to go inward. I'm going to go inward, ideally first, and multiple segments throughout the day. And I'm going to augment it or integrate the best of the best that I'm learning in biology, physiology, what, you know, whatever it might be. But don't forget the inward journey. That's why so many people are struggling right now, because the best of the external will always leave something on the table because it doesn't know what's seeking to be born and realized through you.
Yeah. Janine, one thing you mentioned a minute ago is that if you have these serendipitous or synchronous things crossing your path, your daily path, you would look up the angel number of, say, 333, or the animal totem. Like, what's another way, if you don't know what these are called, that you can find this? Would I search significance of seeing bald eagles?
Absolutely. Just type in bald eagle animal totem.
But see, how do you know if, like, you don't know it's called an animal totem, or, like, say it's something else outside of animal totems, or outside of angel numbers? Like, if I don't know any of these terms and say it's something else, how do I know how to find the significance online?
Then actually I'd go from offline and I would turn to your internet. So much we go to the internet. Let's go to the internet and sigh. And so during those times where I don't know, when I am closing my heart, and I think it's helpful for some people, whether they see the layers that I talked about with the Russian dolls, or see their heart as a sanctuary where they can open up all knowledge, pose a question. Help me to understand what I saw. What is it? What does it mean for me? What's my next right action? You literally can talk, whether it's the highest version of yourself, whether it's a team of gurus, which I often do in corporate settings, that I invite people to, dead or alive, invite their gurus around a table and have a dialogue about what it means. It's amazing we can call on the invisible and the visible. Your answers will emerge, I promise you, whether it's in that quiet period of, I call it dancing with awareness as awareness, or maybe even 2 weeks later, it's like, got it. But don't push for it. Offer the question up to the intelligence of life and ask that the intelligence that you are understand what this it means for you or is asking of you. Or where's it inviting me to?
I love that idea. Actually, I use something very similar in my life. I have what I call a virtual board of mentors. And whenever I have a big decision to make, I will run my decision through them, even though they're not all alive and with us. And I won't actually reach out to anyone. It's just like a little process I do. And it helps me, like, see different perspectives and get other takes, even though I'm not actually directly talking to anyone.
We are wildly powerful, right? I ran across this the other day, and I can't even believe I didn't think of it before, but I saw the word healthy, and it was broken down into heal thy. And I'm like, and there it is once again. You see, hidden in plain sight, all around us, have been the messages of you are the inner genius. You are the universe in miniature. All the clues keep pointing us back home, inward to soul or to entelechy or inner genius, whatever you call it, to the infinite nature of who we actually really are. And it's every day I'm blown away at the universe gets such a good little giggle at us. They're like, yoo-hoo. I'm speaking to you all day long. Come on now. How many signs do I have to give you? But sometimes, you know, the guidance bubbles up in more benign ways. And unless we walk through life being aware, we miss it. So one day I was struggling. My inside narrative was not so productive on somebody I was going to be working with. I was frustrated. So I went outside, as I always do in nature, and I was watering my basil leaves. And sure enough, there was a heart cut out in one basil leaf. I had never seen that. And in those moments, I know life is always trying to facilitate my growth. I close my eyes. I'm like, what does this mean for me? They're like, Janine, you see love in everything and everyone. Go be that love. Reflect that love to this individual. It's what he needs. So essentially, that's what I did in the session. And it was such a turning point. But if I would have been thinking about my to-do list, checking things out, I would have watered my herbs, but not had a dynamic, energetic exchange with these herbs that are life-giving to me. And in that, they gave me a life-giving message.
I think some of the hesitation around that is that people would get that message and they'd be like, oh, did I just like pull this out of who knows where? Like, is this at all accurate? Am I just making this up? Am I taking the right action?
Well, once again, we never know for sure. There's so many things like kinesthetic testing. I always say your body truth precedes your mind lies. And so you can do some kinesthetic testing. There's a bunch of videos on that, but basically if you put your two fists together, put them between your knees, that's proper posture, if you will, that we learned in yoga, and stand there loose, arms loose, eyes closed, ask yourself a question, like, is this insight meant to inform my next right action? Ask a question like that. And if you just breathe into your heart space, if your body moves forward, it's a yes. If your body moves backwards, it's a no. And if it remains stationary, it's a neutral. And learning to use, like we actually, you can use that same thing, go in the refrigerator when you're hungry. If you're going to grab an orange, hold it in your hand. Let your body inform. Does your tummy contract? Does your tummy expand? So I use the interplay with kinesthetic testing all day long in the beginning when I wanted to know, is this, like, am I just making this crap up or, you know, da 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 da. So again, there are so many tools that are, again, our body wisdom precedes our mind lies. The other clue though, Nick, is that when we're moving from the ego, it's usually self-orientated. It is usually from a not enough perspective. When we move from soul guidance, it's about evolving growth. There's a loved-based message in there, even if the decision is hard. Underneath it lies a belief in the next elevation and growth of who you are. So the nuance of the messages between ego and soul are very discernible.
I remember back when I was exploring this world for the first time, I heard about pendulums, and apparently you can use those to test the biocompatibility of certain foods and things to your unique constitution. So I got one and I was fully prepared to debunk it and everything. I held up the pendulum and you're supposed to calibrate it first to figure out like which direction it spins for a yes and which direction it spins for a no. So I did that and like I wasn't actually moving my hand, but it was indeed spinning in circles just like it's supposed to. And I held it over certain foods and I'm like, well, this is interesting. I'm like doing everything I can to keep my hand as still as possible. I'm putting it on a table and everything. And I know that I don't react well to peanut butter. I'm not allergic, but I have a slight intolerance to it. And lo and behold, the pendulum gave me the answer of no, that I shouldn't consume this. And then I put it over a bunch of different foods and it lined up very closely with what I know to be my health foods and my kryptonites.
I love that example. And of course, we use pendulums like if I'm going through the different chakras, it's the same thing. You can do it at home. It lets you know what's in balance, what's closed. So these are all activities that it takes time. I love that you had resistance, but you did something really important. You had willingness. You had willingness to experiment with something that seemed a little bit ridiculous, perhaps, right? But you stuck with it, right? There's so much wisdom. We actually need far less of this. I see our head brain is vital, make no mistakes, but more from organizing and executing, operationalizing, but I actually see the vaster intelligence and the deeper wisdom, the new innovations, what your body actually needs. By the way, you can do that with all of your supplements in your hand. You can, right? Kinesthetic testing. So it's the same thing. I also think, Nick, that it'd be good for the listeners to learn how to practice. Those are some ways of interacting with your body truth if you feel like you need proof. But another way is learning to move energy in your body, right? Whether you stand outside and allow the sun, the wind, you know, the elements, the waves and the water where I live, the elements to help create a frequency shift in your body. If you just tune in and feel the wind, you can actually feel some of the burden lifting or heaviness lifting or whatever it might be. But also every day I have people kind of practice moving energy. Do you move energy in your body, Nick?
When I meditate, but, and then also if I notice particularly strong sensations in my body somewhere, such as like butterflies in my gut before a presentation or an important meeting, then I can transmute that and move it to other parts of my body. And if I notice something particularly off, like such as an issue, not feeling like I'm able to express myself in my throat chakra or my throat energy center, as it's called in by Westerners, and I will move that elsewhere and like redistribute it.
Oh, beautiful. So you do, you can also, by the way, work with that same energy with light and actually view the light moving in your body and opening up the space. The light would also signify that what you end up speaking in the speech becomes of highest meaningful impact and value. But work with light in your body, like literally close your eyes and see the light moving to the space, whether it's tense shoulders for a lot of people, opening up all of the pathways is great. But I also love to just teach people just to do basic learning about energy in their body. Like if they put their two fingers together, Nick, why don't you do it with me? And look down, soften your eyes. If you've got a white wall background or it's easier, but they're about a half an inch apart. Now just soften your gaze and slowly move your fingers apart and see if you can see energy like white wispy clouds.
Something.
Yeah.
Only when the gaze is softened, though.
What, dear?
Only when the gaze is softened.
There you go. That's right. When you soften that gaze and you literally, I use that with people and I will do that on Zoom with my clients. And a lot of them are blown away because for the first time, some of us do see energy just as we move through life. We can see it emanating off of everything, the flowers, the trees, other humans. But this is to teach you yourself that you actually can see your own energy. And the more you do this, the further apart you can get your hands, the more colors you might see on a different day. Might just initially be some kind of almost white film, almost like a cloud around you. Start increasing your own confidence around your ability to use your highest intelligence to move through this temporary container or vessel called what I call a wonder suit or body.
Janine, as we start to wind down, can you tell listeners what they will get out of your book, 911 from Your Soul?
Yeah, absolutely. So, most people come to me and this is all new to them. So I think that this book is a relatable way to move into some of these, the introduction of the and business and spirituality proven and the not to be or yet to be proven. And what they will get is if they're struggling with yearning, persistence, restlessness, challenge, crisis, or they've hit a plateau with advancing some area of their life, you're going to get seven key spiritual principles that teach you how to create greater coherence between your human nature and your infinite nature. So like in every chapter, like I direct my mind in service of my soul. You'll hear what the earth view perspective is, of mind is, or 70,000 thoughts a day, what that looks like. You'll hear about the soul view. What the heck does soul view of mind mean? And how do I tap into this unlimited nature? And then you'll get a bit on living the beauty of the and. So at the end of the day, it's about how do we live more of our infinite potential and our highest potential.
Hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's been great. And probably what touches my heart most is skeptics who pick up the book and actually go through the practices, because there are tangible practices at the end of every chapter. Some of them will feel pragmatic and like, yes, this makes sense. Others will be like, I don't know about this. And that's where that test and try comes in. But what I'm hearing from readers who aren't my clients afterwards is that they feel more inspired. They feel more fully alive, like more powerful in the best possible way to actually create the meaningful impact and live the extraordinary, exceptional life they're hoping to.
And that would also feel less constraining at the same time. So it feels like a more free expansion rather than like targeted, but like disjointed at the same time.
Absolutely. And for many people, and for me too, Nick, I didn't grow up knowing that this inner physician, the inner world bank, the inner healer, the inner guru was inside. I grew up learning it was out there, detached up in the sky and kind of critical and punishing unless you kind of fit into this box, you know? What a paradigm shift to say, no, no, no. All along, it's a lot like Dorothy. It's been with you all along. And we still live in Earth school. We're still traversing here. So we got to crack the code on the beauty of the and. How do we live our soul view more often as we traverse in this Earth gig.
Janine, where can people connect with you and find your work?
Yeah. So you can connect with me at JanineThompson.net. Instagram is _JanineThompson_. And I'd love to hear from you. Like drop me a note in the contact area. If you have a question, I promise you I'll answer it. Like I am super excited to engage with people and I want people to open this door for themselves. So would love to hear from you. You can find my book, 911 from Your Soul, at Amazon, worldwide, Barnes and Noble, or go to your local bookstore that you just love. And it's in the Ingram catalog, and support your local people and they can order it.
Great. Okay. We'll do a quick rapid fire round now.
Yay.
Well, first, before we do, if there was a burning of the books and you got to save the works of three teachers, who would you choose and why?
Boy, Nick, I tell you, if you would see my house, there are books stacked everywhere. I love them, can't get enough of them. So honestly, my answer might change a week from now, but I will tell you what they are right now. I have them beside me. One is Spiritual Girl. This particular book, it just is loaded full of practices. Mine has more of a business and spiritual spin. This is all spiritual. I think it's an easier beginning book. It's incredible. I have literally read it so many times. You can see it's pink, green, yellow, like every highlighter. I love it. Love, love, love it. Another one is The Mysticism of Sound and Music. And this is, wow, not only is it a poetically brilliant read, it's just actually really profound in helping us understand how we start as sound. And it brings me back to the frequency and the quantum and everything. Love that book. when I don't have it's on my Kindle, is The Enlightened Heart, an anthology of sacred poetry. You know, the Upanishads, Rumi, even the Psalms, Lazu, Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it has just got everything. And I think when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking music, frequency, art, all the things that bring me back to the awareness of who I am. And I would be remiss if I didn't have my own book on there, 911 From Your Soul. And for me personally, it reminds me of who I am and what I'm here to do in the world. And it's got so many life-changing practices in there. There is one on my list I haven't read yet, but I'm very curious about, and that is The Secret Teachings of All Ages.
I'm in the middle of reading that.
Oh, darn. So it's on my Kindle, and with 600 pages, I'm like, man, I have got to get the... What do you think?
Well, I'm reading on my Kindle also, and so far, I think it's mind-blowing. I'm not that far into it, and I've been reading it for a while because it's one of the books I'm cycling in and out of. I read little bits of it at a time and digest it, but it's really cool how the author weaves together all these different like mystics and traditions and things that you didn't realize could have like some of the same underlying threads.
Absolutely. And that's what I've learned like in my year-long yoga teacher training, when we had to study all these different forms, whether it was religious or esoterical, and there's far more similarities if you actually go way down than differences. So that is one that I suspect will make my list at some point, but I honestly haven't played around with it enough to know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll go on to a quick rapid fire round now. What's one thing that you've changed your mind on in the last year?
To own my truths out loud about soul and business. And I know that that's where we started in the beginning, but that's really important. And actually, it's a question I want to leave your audience with is, where do you know in your heart you're playing smaller? Where in the world do people need to see you and hear your unique beliefs, perspectives, way of walking and living in the world? Because you're an important part of that mosaic. So go live it out loud and proud. But for me, that's been huge because I kind of hid behind it and did it in my personal sessions, but I didn't want to, honestly, I didn't want to face the rejection, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, no, it's time. It doesn't matter. I believe business is the largest breathing organism alive. There's nothing business doesn't touch. The land, the air, the sky, the creatures. Business touches everything. We either own it, own a business, shop for one, or work for one. So just imagine if we could change the fabric of the largest change agent in the world.
What area outside of stillness and meditation and some of these topics we've covered today are you working on regarding your own health and performance?
Many. It seems like that also is a love of mine. But continuing to move through the moments of a day with super high awareness, really being dialed in so my head isn't off somewhere solving some problem when I've got somebody inside of me. That's one. And the other is seeing energy in everything. So that simple energy exercise we did, I do that with the flowers outside. I do that as I move through life, is to really refine my ability to see the energetic imprint. Hmm.
Janine, what's one thing that your tribe doesn't know about you?
I am pretty open, but I think for the people who are newer to me, it actually is the degree to which I channel, receive information, different light languages, etc. So I think it's really that those skills that you allow to open up once you're willing to experiment some more. But I think they'd be surprised how much I do that every single day.
All right. Well, are there any final takeaways you'd like to leave listeners with?
You are longing to meet you. So when you're out on the great search for the latest and the greatest of everything that exists out there, go do that because it makes you feel alive. And that is a part of living your highest and best life. And you long to meet you, the highest nature of you. I think at the end of the day, that's what we're all really seeking for.
Well, Janine, thanks for joining me on the podcast. It's been a thought-provoking and soul-provoking conversation.
Thank you. It has been a great pleasure. I love your podcast. I am a student of them. So it's really a great honor to be with you. So many thanks.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.